words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, or Sunday after Easter, is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Catholic Church. Starting last week and continuing on for several more, the prayer book's gospel readings are taken from the long speech Jesus delivered to his disciples at the Last Supper. Last week, he said the disciples' sorrow at his death and our sorrow until he comes again are like labor pains. Labor pains are horrible when they are going on, but after a little while they go away and joy takes their place. Today he tells the disciples what will happen as a result of his ascension, his going away into heaven, to sit on the right hand of God until he comes again. The first thing that will happen is the Holy Ghost will come to earth. That cannot happen while Jesus is still here. While Jesus is on earth, God's presence is, in a sense, vocalized in him. After he goes back to heaven, the Spirit can come to earth, and God will be fully present everywhere. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Then Jesus spells out several things the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. First of all, he will show the world what sin really is. What it turns out sin really is disbelief in Jesus and lack of trust in what he commands and what he promises. If we really believed who Jesus is and what he teaches, we would never disobey. So in that sense, every sin is a manifestation of disbelief in Jesus. Jesus says, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not in me. The Spirit will also show the world who is really righteous. The proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God and the Messiah of Israel, and therefore the one who has God's authority to teach. The proof is in the ascension. It might have been possible to fake the resurrection. Maybe he was never really dead. Maybe somebody stole his body and substituted someone else. But it would be extremely difficult to fake taking off from the Mount of Olives and going up, up and away into the clouds of heaven. Jesus says, he will reprove the world of righteousness because I go to my Father. And you see me no more. Next, the Holy Ghost will show the world what judgment is. God has passed his judgment on the devil. According to the epistle to the Hebrews, the greatest power the devil has over us is to make us afraid to die. Jesus' death and resurrection break that power because they prove that death gives us nothing to fear. We shall return from our graves and bodies and go to heaven just as Jesus did. Jesus says, he will reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. When Jesus talks about the ongoing role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church, to understand what he is talking about, it is helpful to remember that when Jesus went back to heaven, the church had no New Testament, no creeds, no prayer book, no hymnal, no set of canon laws, and no calendar. In short, the church had none of the things we think of as essential to her existence. All of it had to evolve and be worked out under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. Over a period of time, the church and the Holy Ghost worked it all out. What it means to be a Catholic Christian is to accept the decisions of the early centuries. The first four centuries brought a consensus on what books should constitute the authoritative New Testament. Ecumenical councils spelled out the basics of the creeds. Local churches, living under those decisions of the whole church, developed their own books of worship and discipline. The church also had to decide how much of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, would continue to be binding on Christians. Its decision was essentially that anything the New Testament did not get rid of specifically remained binding. Sacrificing animals went out because Hebrews said its purpose had ended. The obligation to give 10% of one's income to God off the top, tithing, remained binding upon us. Circumcision went out because St. Paul said it was no longer necessary. The obligation to honor one's parents remained binding. The need to abstain from cheeseburgers and shrimp cocktail went out because of what Jesus said and what St. Peter saw. The obligation not to covet remained binding. The church continues to live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Some people believe that means that the Holy Spirit can lead the church into new truth and contradicts former truth. In short, that the Spirit can change his mind and therefore change the church's basic teaching and practice. Our church rejects any such idea completely. We believe that God knew exactly what he was doing when he inspired the Holy Scriptures. We believe he knew exactly what he was doing when he led the church to make the decisions she made when the church was still one and undivided. To think anything else is to suggest we should believe in someone other than Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is to suggest that we have rejected the Holy Spirit whom God and Jesus have promised us will guide us into all truth. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.